Hi there, everyone. It's James sitting here with Anna, and it's the It Will Move podcast. And we are in Leviticus, and we're going to be talking today about fellowship offerings.
The fellowship offering, yes.
The fellowship offering. And I know we've already gone through a bunch, burnt offerings and grain offerings and what have you. And today, the fellowship offering. And one of the notes that kind of I took when you kind of introduced the idea of a fellowship offering was this idea of recognizing the miracles of God in your life and expressing gratitude through fellowship with God and people.
Yes.
Quite a mouthful.
It certainly is.
And so, as we went through it, there was what kind of also jumped out was this idea of, okay, so this is an offering, there's a sacrifice involved, and then you went through all the different organ parts, and some of it goes to God, some of it goes to the priest, and then some of it actually goes back to the people,
yes.
Or the rest goes back to the people in order to have this meal together.
Correct.
As you were preparing the lesson, what were some of the big takeouts for you?
Well, maybe we can unpack those two ideas, recognizing the miracles of God and the idea of the tabernacle being a portable Eden, and the Psalms often referring to sort of Edenic language around it.
Yes.
The recognizing the miracles of God, we're back to this is a voluntary offering. And we spoke about that the previous time as well. So if it's voluntary, did I not have to do it? My guess is something that comes to mind for me with this, because it exists, because there is a way, there's a medium through which you can do this. So there's a medium that I can express thanks. So it was done for, it could be done as a free will offering, a thanksgiving offering, or it could be done in a fulfillment of a vow. So any of those could, but because there's a medium to do it, it actually forces you to think. So what I find for myself is that I am too busy with life to necessarily stop and recognize the miracles of God in my life.
Yes.
And the miracle does not have to be that my neighbor says they want to study the Bible and become a Christian. Certainly that's a miracle too. But the miracle is, as we've said before, that I got to get up and live another day.
Yes.
But if I don't stop, if these guys, I think where one must have certainly been helpful to them, is there's actually a platform for this. So if you were to stop and think and say, you and I are walking to the tabernacle or to the temple, and oh, we're going to go tomorrow. You and I, we're friends. We say, hey, James, why don't we go to the tabernacle tomorrow? What are we going to do? We're going to do our fellowship offering.
Mm.
The question would be, for what? And I ask you, hey, James, what is your fellowship offering going to be for?
Now you put me in a point where I now need to have something to say. I need, what is the miracle that I'm recognizing here?
Yes. I'm putting you in that point, but you should have put yourself in that point already.
Yes.
Because you're also wanting to go and do the fellowship offering. It's more, I'm not keeping you accountable here. I'm just interested.
Yes.
I'm saying, hey, I'm taking my fellowship offering because, sure, I'm just so grateful that harvest came in, and without it, we would not have had food. Or, sure, I'm just so grateful that we just came back from this journey and God brought us back safely. And so, sure, this was not just the happenstance that this happened. This was, I believe, a miracle from God that allowed this. And so that's why I'm taking my fellowship offering.
Yes.
And then you say your deal.
Yes.
So I think that there was actually, let's call it an official process of recognizing miracles. It's pretty cool. And I think it's something that I do too little of.
Yes. And I remember I do remember as a younger Christian hearing people saying, oh, man, that was such a miracle. This happened, it was a miracle. And kind of realizing just how unspiritual it is to view everything as just kind of life and that's the way things are, as opposed to saying, no, God is opening doors. There are miracles happening. Life is a miracle. It is, and how easy it is to get ungrateful. There were things that were prayed about. The solutions came, or God opened doors or closed doors. This might even have been years ago. And yet it's so easy just to move on with life instead of being able to say, boy, you know what, God did a miracle there, and I'm grateful, I'm recognizing it.
And it doesn't even have to be a prayed for, here are my thoughts, it doesn't even have to be a prayed for miracle.
Yes.
So it's not even that I'm praying, my child is sick, please help my child to get better. It is recognizing. Now, I read about this some time ago, I can't remember the detail of it, but the ancient people, certainly the ancient Jewish people, everything for them was a miracle.
Yes.
Meaning there wasn't life with God and life without God, and that God is in some things and not in other things. They viewed the very existence of God and the fiber of their being was connected to God. So that meant that anything good that happened to me was the miraculous intervention of Yahweh.
Yes.
And I think there's a whole lot of good, and I don't want to repeat what we did in the previous podcast, but I think there's a whole lot of good happening in my life that I don't recognize.
Yes.
Until it's taken away.
Yes.
And obviously when you take it away, suddenly it's like, oh my word, what happened to that? What happened to this? Whether it would be health, whether it would be a salary that you don't think is good enough until you suddenly get half of it. Then suddenly the game changes completely. Yes.
Totally. No, very nice. And I think it is. It's like with gratitude, obviously very connected to some of our previous discussions on gratitude, but it's taking the time to recognize and to see, as opposed to just meandering on with life and taking day, you know, it's you know, being able to take that time through our prayer life, through our conversation is, you know, am I grateful? Am I seeing God work here? And, you know, my guess is that when we are actively seeing God work miracles in our lives, our faith will be high.
It will be increased, yeah.
If we are ignorant of it and we don't think about it and we're not concentrating on it, our faith will be low, and then we'll be like, hey, what's happening? I don't understand why I'm not fired up. It's like, look for the miracles.
And maybe something to consider, and I don't have an answer to this, but one can figure it out on a personal level, is what are ways that I can actually recognize the miracles of God in my life? So they did it by making an offering.
Yes.
Now, the communal part, we can maybe get to just now as well, but the communal part would mean this. So let's say you and me, our families, we throw in the Kluters in there, they go with us, and a couple of families, or you as a family group, let's say your family group, you guys are now going to the tabernacle, and you're bringing your fellowship offering, and it's the recognition of miracles. Then the text doesn't give us details to how this went down, but I could only imagine that if we were to do it, that we're not just all going to sit there silently, because we're also having a meal together, which we'll get to just now. But that we're most probably going to go in a circle of some sorts and say, hey, either tell the priest, maybe the priest asks, I don't know, but say, hey, as you and I just spoke of now of our individual conversation, but now we have it in a bigger group.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about what you'll have is you'll have the, and I call it the temple court, because that's what it will be later on. Let's call it the tabernacle court. You'll be having a whole lot of miracle sharing taking place.
Yes.
And I can imagine that even if you were an ungrateful soul in the midst of that, or even maybe a kid and not realizing the miracles, but you hear your parents share the miracles, that you must be thinking, oh my word, this is a miracle. This is what God is doing in our lives. And this is how he is being at work. And maybe that's something even for us to consider. You know, do our kids hear miracles out of our mouths or complaint? Miracles about how grateful we are, about what God has given us and what he is doing in our lives, or complaint. Complaint about this, complaint about that. But anyway, those are the thoughts on recognizing the miracles. With regards to the Edenic language, the psalmist are referring often to the house of God, and in terms of, and we've looked at this earlier on in the story, where you see as well in both the temple and the tabernacle, you see a resemblance of imagery. Is that a word?
Imagery
of Eden.
Yeah, so the cherubim, the fountain.
The menorah, the lampstand, supposedly, possibly reflecting the tree of life. There's pomegranates, there's on the curtains at the bottom, there's stuff, even some of the priest's clothing had some of that stuff going. So we're back to a portable Eden. So this is the tabernacle is a microcosm. I hope that makes sense. A mini Eden. It's a mini Eden, and it's taking us back to a mini Eden. And Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden, banned from the garden, because they were in sin. Now Israel is allowed, if you may, back into the garden through the sacrificial system.
Yes.
Okay. And they are able to have a taste of Eden that points forward to what it is that they are supposed to bring to the whole world. That will ultimately culminate in and through Jesus towards new creation. I mean, that's a big thought in itself. Now the fellowship offering, where that comes into play here, is, I can't remember if I mentioned this in Sunday's class or not, but it's the idea of God is the host. It's his house. He's with a Fuller House campaign. What are we trying to do? We're trying to invite people. I don't know if you can remember what our original plan in this was. Why are we inviting people into our home and not to Mug and Bean?
Because we're expanding the garden from our homes.
From our home. But there is a difference between me meeting someone at Mug and Bean and meeting them in my home.
Mm. Mm.
There is a level of intimacy that takes place in inviting you into my home versus meeting you at Mug and Bean.
Mm, mm, mm.
It's a different level. Mm. From both parties' sides, you are entering personal space.
Mm, mm, mm.
My personal space.
Mm, mm, mm.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then obviously in the house, you can even say, what level of personal space am I going to invite you into?
Yeah, but I'm hosting you into my space. It's not we just meeting somewhere neutral.
No. Well, we are. And now I invite you into my space. Now suddenly the house needs to be clean. Everyone's scurrying around trying to make it look nice, what have you, and I want to show hospitality. In essence, that's what God is doing in this through this offering, through instituting the fellowship offering, is that he's inviting the people into his home. He's inviting his people into his home as his sons and daughters, and he wants to show them hospitality.
Mm, mm, mm.
And through it, there would be a sacrifice that is holy and pleasing to him, an expression of gratitude. There is the priest having a meal brought by the people, and the people having a meal, and everyone sitting in the courtyard. And the priests even at times move into the holy place and they eat the most holy food there.
Mm.
But the idea, again, is reminding you, my guess would be back of Eden, but also the future.
Yes, yeah, because you mentioned the idea of the blessings, you know, kind of somehow getting a taste of the blessings of Eden.
And reminding of you what could be. So if sin gets dealt with, if we get transformed, if our humanity gets restored, then Eden can move out of the outside curtains. I'm not sure what you'll call that. What is the thing that you call that was around the tabernacle? You say get the tent and then there's sort of the boundary wall, boundary curtains.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So in essence, what the hope here is that Eden will move from the tent
outwards,
outside of the boundary curtains, which we then obviously ultimately see happen in and through Jesus and then in and through the church. Because he becomes the temple, the tabernacle, the place where heaven and earth meets. And then obviously everyone that is in him, we become that tabernacle and we can actually expand on all of that. So what these guys, if you know, think of it this way, and I mean, I'm thinking of this in mind as we are going through this. In essence, as these guys were having their fellowship meal in a spirit of gratitude, this is actually foreshadowing us as a church.
Yes.
As the people of God living in our time, and we're not in that tabernacle.
Yes.
The garden has moved outside.
We are the garden. We're expanding the garden.
Well, we're expanding the garden. And then it brings us back to, I know we spoke about this offline as well, be the church, go to church, that we have more about being the church and going to church. But I do think it puts more emphasis as well on going to church and being the people together.
Yes. And I think that, you know, I agree. I mean, I think, you know, trying to draw two, you know, the parallels are obviously there and needed to be there. But, you know, church... the church meeting on a Sunday morning at Paro is not the tabernacle, but there is and always has been something very special, whether it's in the home, whether it's on Sunday at a venue, wherever that is, of, you know, the people of God meeting together and having fellowship together. And I do believe there is meant to be some Edenic feel that we get from that fellowship and from that camaraderie. And I experience it. And I think it's something we need to keep fighting for, that this isn't just a nice to have. This is mini Eden. Because of the venue, because of us.
Yes, because of us. Now, what we'll see, and we'll most probably have to close with this as we're trying to keep these things shorter, but it's what we're going to see on Sunday, a bit of a trailer, is Sunday we're starting to look at the feasts, the seven feasts, and that comparison section and ritual feasts on the top right-hand corner of the poster that we have. Is that the goodness of God couldn't be celebrated alone.
Mm.
That was something not possible in their thinking.
Yes.
You couldn't do it alone.
Mm.
The goodness of God had to be celebrated in community.
Nice. Cool. Well, we'll obviously keep exploring that thought as we look at some of those feasts. And thanks, Van. I think very interesting looking at the fellowship offering. Each one of these offerings, you know, has its own interesting little bits and pieces. And look forward to exploring the guilt offering.
And maybe what we should do, and again, we don't have to do this in a corporate church, meaning the church collectively, but I do think individually it might be worthwhile to think about we're not called to have these offerings,
yeah.
but what can I take from it?
Yeah.
And if I were to make a fellowship offering today, what would it look like?
Yeah.
I think that might be a worthwhile thought. And each of these things, what are similarities that I can see that I think for me personally, the Bible doesn't command me to do it. I didn't even back then because it was voluntary, but how can I express gratitude and recognize the miracles?
So. Totally, and even just drawing those parallels, it's yes, there's no gratitude offering, but there is absolutely a call to be grateful.
Yes.
Is there a call in the New Covenant for us to recognize God and to see things from a godly point of view? No, absolutely, and I think we need to fight to take all these lessons and make them very practical to us now, because you know they certainly need to be. Cool.
Amen. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll speak again soon.